Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
So, Elizabeth, I sat through a hurricane. Hurricane Beulah came into South Texas when I lived there as a kid, and it just frightened me to death. I mean, the winds were incredible. The rain was unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't like wind very much.
But, you know, worse than that was 1 month before I got married. My wife and her family lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mm. Her parents' house was hit by a tornado 1 month before we got married.
Wow, maybe that was a message for your marriage.
Maybe for Gail, you know, but the Lord has blessed us. It's been 33 years now.
Oh, praise the Lord.
In spite of the storm, we have survived. I guess God is more powerful than the storm.
That's right. That's right. And what happened to that tornado?
It took off a part of the roof of the house. It blew out all the windows and it sucked things. Their garage was completely gone, but no one was harmed. No one was at home at the time. And so it was good.
You know, many times when I've seen storms or I've heard stories of storms, I realize how much they talk about my own life.
Yeah.
You know, the storms in life are so difficult, you know. We have, in the story we're going to see today in chapter 8 of Matthew, we have a seasoned fishermen who have been in the water so many times. They know all the techniques. And,
that's right.
And here they're found in this storm that they're helpless and hopeless, you know. And when I read the story, I always think, you know, remember how we started our broadcast at the beginning of January saying, we thought we had it all together, you know,
we thought
we had plans. And then the storms came.
The storms came and made changes in our plans.
That's right.
We find this in Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter, starting with the verse 23. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.
Yes. You know, I love this story because I actually can place myself in the boat. You know, and maybe you want to rewrite this story for you. This is one of the things sometimes I do in my devotionals. I do what is called incarnational reading.
That's right. Where you put yourself into that story.
That's right. And I rewrite the story. I might not be a boat. It might be something else, but it's another storm. And and here they think that, how in the world is it that Jesus is sleeping? You know, doesn't he see what's going on?
Hey, you know what? There have been times when the storms have hit my life when it felt like Jesus was asleep.
Yes. And
you
this
know what
is,
I mean? I
yes.
Mean,
and this is one of the points that Matthew is trying to make because there's a lot of storms going on at the time he's writing.
That's right.
And they say, please save us, Lord, because we are really perishing here.
That's right.
You know?
I'm going to die.
Yes, I'm going to die if you don't do something.
That's right.
And Jesus says, look, you guys, I have a lot more here than you think I do. And he just gets up, like if he was calling his kids for breakfast.
That's
and he says, hey, winds.
Stop.
Hey, see? Stop it. and we are given this thing here. It says, it became perfectly calm.
That's incredible, because if you've ever been on the sea when there's a storm, and I have, I've been in a cruise ship. I can't lay claim to being a sailor, but in a cruise ship, a storm hit, and it took days for the sea to calm down, days after a major storm. But here, Jesus said, stop, and it was instantly
calm.
That's
right. You know, I had a funny experience once in a cruise. I don't like them very much because—
Oh, I love them.
Because, well, I love them if they would stay still in one spot.
It's the movement that gets you.
All right,
I see.
You know, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I got out of my cabin and it was moving. And I went and I only found this guy cleaning the windows at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said to him, why is the ship moving? He says, because we're at the sea. And, you know, and he had an Indian accent. Because we are at the sea, he says. And I go, but this ship is big. And he goes, the ocean is bigger. And it was so funny because I was trying to find a scientific reason.
Right.
Why is it that this was moving? And, you know, I have felt like that so many times. And I almost feel his voice saying, look, life is bigger than your boat, you know?
That's right, it is.
And actually, there's so much here that it really is coming from the Old Testament. Because in the Bible, sea represents evil because
evil.
The customs and the societies of the time felt that and they believed that.
But you know, you saw that even in cultures centuries later. Those who went to see, when they would make maps, there were dragons over here and great sea monsters
over
here.
That's right. The primeval waters were everything. You know, they felt the gods that were difficult.
That's right.
Lived there
and
evil.
That's right.
And so many times in the Old Testament, you will find verses where it says that God is in control of the water. He's in control of the deep. And mm-hmm. maybe now you know why it says that in the new earth, there will be no more sea.
No more sea.
It's
no
not
more
really
trouble.
Talking
yeah,
about
no
water.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's going to be water.
Mm-hmm.
It's no more evil, mm-hmm. you know? And so, for example, let's go back to some of the Psalms. Remember that all the law, the Psalms, and the prophets
are about
Jesus.
Jesus.
Here we have Psalm 104, mm-hmm. and for example, verses 6 and 7 talk about this.
You covered it with the deep as a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight.
Yeah, see, many times we find this type of verses where the waters are obeying God.
Yes.
And this is making a point that God is in power over not just nature, but mm-hmm. evil in the sense...
Evil itself.
Evil itself, you know?
So when you feel that you are oppressed by evil, God is bigger than the evil.
Yes.
When you belong to Jesus, evil has no right over you.
That's right.
And you can claim that. That's right.
And actually, you might be surprised to know that there is a psalm that had this exact situation that the disciples faced.
Psalm 107.
Yeah, that's the one. And you will find many parallel words that talk about the same mm-hmm. situation of how God is able to calm the storm. Maybe we can read it. What do you think, Mike?
Let's do that. Psalm 107, shall we start with verse 23?
That sounds great.
Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. If you ever tried to walk on board a ship that was really in a storm, you know you walk like a drunk man because you cannot walk a straight line.
That's right.
Line.
And if you have ever been at your wits' end,
yes,
you know
right.
what we're talking about. It doesn't
that's
have
right.
to be a storm. It can be life altogether.
Mm-hmm. Verse 28, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven.
See, Matthew uses a lot of these words to
That's
tell
right.
the story so that we realize that Jesus is the same God than the God that David was mm-hmm. Praising and some of the other people that wrote Psalms. This is the God that has power over nature, has power over storms. And actually, many of the wording is very similar. In this case, how their boat was going from
That's
here
right.
to there, how they were at their wits' end, and then he caused the storm to be still and the waves of the sea were hushed.
That's right. You know, in one telling of this story in one of the Gospels, I remember that there are two words for fear that are used for the disciples. The first is the fear that they had at the waves.
Mm-hmm.
But then the second word used for fear...
Is the amazement.
It was even a greater fear than what they had felt at the waves.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they realized that they were in the presence of the God who could control all of these things. What kind of man is this? This is not just a man.
That's right.
And so the fear actually intensified because now they recognize that something was far more powerful than the waters that had frightened them so.
That's right. And this fear was not a fear of that sometimes we think of.
No.
You know, this was the fear of awe in the
yes,
presence
right.
of God.
That's right.
And, you know, it's interesting because the disciples have been with Jesus such a long time, and they still don't fully know who
mm-mm,
he is.
Mm-mm.
And that's why we
but
have
do
the question.
We, even today?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, we've devoted our lives to these scriptures, but to say that I really know him, I'm still learning. I'm a babe.
You know, it's interesting because Matthew will do these crescendos on the power of Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, he has power over nature, then he has power over evil. The next story is about the demon possessed.
That's right.
Then he will have power over diseases, over death. And he's building all of this up to show that he's the one that has power to bring us salvation. Because this, I mean, if you talk about this in a worldwide perspective,
mm-hmm.
this is what happened to us as a human race.
That's right.
You know, we were created, then this storm came because evil came in.
That's right. And there's no way out for us. We're helpless against this wave, this tidal wave, this tsunami of evil that sweeps
right.
over our
and
lives.
And we see it all around.
That's right.
And Jesus comes, dies for us, and he commands evil.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm in charge here. And then he will very soon, and we're waiting for the day, consummate his kingdom yeah. where there will be no more tears, no more death, and evil is gone.
I think we also, though, need to draw a distinction between big picture storm and little picture storm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The big picture storm is that which affects our planet.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, Jesus ends that storm in victory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, little picture storm, there's sometimes in my life when I go all the way through the storm and he doesn't steal that storm.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't stop it. But he will see me through it. It may end up in my death,
mm-hmm.
but even then I can die victoriously because yes. I trust in him.
See,
he has the power.
That's the point of this story, is that the big victory, the big storm has been already hushed
that's
and
right.
calmed. And we're just waiting for him to come and get us.
That's right. And he will see us through that storm because that is the Jesus who has power over our lives, power over evil, power over the enemy. He is in control.
And he has power to bring us salvation too.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.
Woohoo!